This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Merang and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Merang pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing? How we doing today?
Doing good.
We good?
Doing good.
Everybody survive the wind storm yesterday?
Yeah,
that was tornado?
You had your power knocked out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, power went out. Shout outs to the bros at PGE.
Got you up and going quick?
So, yeah, there was like this, oh boy, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. We're scrambling. Power goes out at like 3:55 at our home. We get the alert. It's like, okay, this is going to suck. We get the update from PG. It's like, your power will be restored at 7:00. It's like, oh, okay. So what did we got? 3 hours here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a game plan for these 3 hours. We start like getting the candles, the lights, all the lamps, all that stuff. We're going, all right, figure out where we're going for dinner tonight, apparently. Mm-hmm. Then you look at get another PG update. 8:00. Uh-oh. This is not looking good.
Definitely going out to dinner tonight.
This is not looking good. Another PGE update. And this is like at 5:30. I look, your power will be restored at 8:45. And I was like, oh my gosh. I kid you not, 5 minutes later, power's on. Yes! Yes!
They meant to say 5:45.
You meant Eastern time?
Yeah, there you go.
You meant Eastern time? So shout outs to the bros at PG. Our power was out for... It was out for like an hour and 45 minutes or whatever.
Sucks, but
dude,
it's doable.
You can get through that.
Yeah.
You can get through that. That was great. So big ups to them. I know a lot of other people not so lucky, but we got ours up very, very, very quick and in short order. So congrats to them.
Yeah, I was in the K2 newsroom as a tornado touchdown.
Mm.
The Providence nurses' strike ended, and apparently some... minister got arrested for whooping a child with a belt that wasn't his.
The belt wasn't his?
No, the kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither one of those are good.
Neither one of those are good. But all these things all happen at the same time, and I've never been in a newsroom when, like, a bunch of, like, quick-breaking stories all hit within the span of 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It was pure and utter chaos. It was like, what is happening over here? Just a lot of yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Dave Selesky, meteorologist for K2, he was My man was on a mission.
This is his Super Bowl.
Oh, dude. Yeah. No, are you kidding? I went full on. Like you throwing on the slicker? You going storm chasing? We going to go see cows flying?
Selesky's had like snow and now this in like 2 weeks. This is big time for him.
Oh, no. I asked him. I was like, so wait, is this like a normal? I was like, oh, yeah. No, this is like the perfect pocket for this weather to occur. This like it's a couple weeks.
That's
like,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Perfect pocket. It all kind of comes together. And we're doing a little walk and talk. And I'm like, do we know where it's landing? He goes, I know exactly where it's landing. It's landing in Silverton. It's moving 40 miles an hour northeast. And I was like,
I would expect it to move faster than 40.
I mean, think about that, though. Not the, like the wind speeds, but like the way it was trapped. Like, that's kind of insane to think about.
Yeah.
Like when you really think about something, just weather itself moving at 40 miles, like a literal tornado moving at 40 miles an hour. Not the wind speeds around it, but like the speed of which the tornado is moving across the ground. It's like, that seems kind of terrifying.
Powerful.
Yeah, no, we managed to dodge all the all electrical issues, which is kind of crazy because when I came home from the game last night, basically all the lights on 99 between Sherwood and Newburgh and like the beginning of Newburgh were out.
Yeah.
A lot of trees down everywhere.
That's because a transformer went, pew, pew.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it was a very, very pitch black drive on the way home.
Yeah. Weather.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Now it's supposed to be sunny and like 62 tomorrow or something. Let's go.
Big spring, baby.
All right.
I love it.
All right. Okay. The Vancouver Ford Tech sign's already upset. Given all the rate hikes over the last few years, they deserve no props at all. I'll give props to the employees, but not the company itself.
There you go, yeah.
That's not on them.
I was giving the employees.
Yeah.
The employees get their props.
They've got the...
they did a good job.
The lineman training facility out there in Sherwood.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very few things that I've ever seen at just first glance that are more intimidating than that. It's like the giant poles that they climb, and then right next door is like an actual power station where it like hisses and cracks and pops. And I'm like, no. Like those guys that climb.
Electricity scares me.
Oh, no, I want no part of electricity at all, especially that. Like it's 110. 110's cool. We can work with 110 and less. We're cool. Anything beyond that, no. Hard pass.
Yeah.
Those guys that climb those towers, like out in the middle of the desert, they're like 300 feet tall, and they do the GoPro stuff, and I'm just like, no. Or the windmill repair guys.
Yeah,
those guys, they're nuts,
even
man.
The radio tower people who have to like replace the light bulbs.
Yes.
Oh.
There's a guy who does it, who does like the ones like out in Montana, and he squirrel suits off of it. He's a lineman who like squirrel suits off these things.
That's one of those things where it's like he stops posting, you're like, I know what happened.
Yeah. It's like, but it's like when you're that high, the whole idea of like, if you've never climbed a ladder that's like more than like an A-frame, it's an intimidating thing to like climb 30 feet on a ladder. Like you just keep going and you're like, why does this feel so much higher up than if I just took stairs?
Just look up. Don't look down.
Don't look down on the ladder, man. It is not fun.
And I'm not afraid of heights. I don't mind being up high.
There's something about
down.
Being on a ladder though.
Yeah. But in the open air.
Yeah.
When the wind is blowing.
That's the other thing is like you watch these guys and they're like, take a step, click in, take a step, click in, take a step, click in. I'm like, that process when you're doing it like 1800 times.
Yeah.
Just seems like, boy, you better be careful every single time.
Yeah. That's one job where you don't take shortcuts.
No. Now, those guys also make a mint.
Well, yeah. Cause
it's
you
insanely
mess up,
dangerous.
You're going to die.
Yeah. Touch the wrong line. You're dead. Yeah. Don't clip in, you're dead. Step wrong, you're dead.
Man.
Buh. Yeah, no. Shouts to those guys, because those guys are awesome.
Yeah, look at these texts. My granddad was lineman back in the day, middle of nowhere, Montana, in the winter.
Oof.
Jeez, uphill both ways. Got a buddy who does it in rural Idaho and eastern Washington for cell tower repair and building. Super crazy to see the wind and snow on top of those hills. Yeah. No. Crazy.
No.
And the windmills are even more nuts, because it's like, they are there because it's windy. Like, that's why they put those there.
Mm-hmm.
Very windy.
Except for the ones apparently at the top of the hill as you come into to Ladd Hill in Newburgh. Because I've, in the, what, 3-4 years that I've lived out there now, I have never once seen them move.
Mm.
Not once.
Hmm.
There's like four of them at the top of the hill as you're leaving Newburgh, going back into Sherwood on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's a tax write-off, right? Like, that's why they put those there. This thing, no. I've never once seen them move. It's very weird.
Maybe they're just fans to keep it cool.
There you go.
You know?
It's never quite hot enough. It's the only there in case of heat dome.
Yeah. Dude. We had a practice one time in Hood River on our way to a state championship game, and we stopped, and at Hood River Valley High School, they've got a windmill just right behind their football stadium. It's a small one, and it was spinning. It was really windy. It was like 19 degrees out,
oof.
And we had one of our players comes up, and he's like, hey, coach, it's really cold out. Why do they got that fan on? I go, I looked at him and I was like,
are you joking?
Are you serious? Dead serious. Dead serious. I was like, buddy.
I love kids.
That's a windmill. That's for power.
Power generation.
It's that spins.
Or in the old days.
Creates electricity. Sit this one out, bud. I knew he wasn't concussed because it was non-contact practice. We just started walkthrough.
I am an FBI agent.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we are here. Things are going well.
See, Vancouver Ford next
line. Let's go.
All the ones in Newburgh never move.
Yeah. Well, look at that.
It's weird. I've never talked to anybody who's like, yeah, no, I've seen them run. It's weird.
All right. All right. We had thunder and lightning last night. It was an exciting night.
I didn't see
our basketball
that.
Hoop. Oh, yeah. We had some of that. We had some of, we had our basketball hoop fall over in the wind.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how windy it was. Basketball hoop went over.
The weighted basketball hoop went over, huh?
Yeah, now, my son was like, the rim is bent. I was like, buddy, that rim has been bent. It fell over a couple of times. You've been shooting on a very difficult hoop to shoot on for quite some time. Like, you get used to it.
Yeah,
you're fine.
You can make it here. You can make it anywhere. It's like making it on the milk crate.
It's like going to the fair. My son will be money at the fair because...
Nothing but swishes, baby.
That rim is not okay there.
Got some lip loops and bends in there.
Yep, that's right. You gotta hit net, baby. Got to hit net. All right, let's get to it. Coming up today, we got a lot of news surrounding the NFL Combine. Today, Mel Kiper Jr., he has his mock draft
unleashed on everybody, apparently.
I don't want people to think that it's Mel Kiper Sr.'s mock, but it's Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft. And it's a doozy. Boy, he's got some head scratchers. And I think that when it's a good time to reassess and address where mock drafts come from. It's about the buzz. But a lot of big takeaways that we can take from Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft. What is this, 1.0? This is what we're doing. This is 1.0. So we got draft and combine stuff. There's some NCAA stuff that's getting a little crazy because it's not just reports and this may happen. There are three really, really big stories about college athletics that we've been talking about. The death of the NCAA, the massive landscape shift and change that we will see in college sports. There's three stories today that truly could change the way we look at college athletics. One is in football, one is in soccer, and one is with the power conferences and how they're going to operate moving forward. So we got a ton that we got to get to and where we got to start. The Portland Trailblazers, they pick up a win last night.
Me.
Started the 7-game road trip 1-0 as they beat the Utah Jazz 114-112. Not the prettiest game that we've ever seen.
No.
A win nonetheless. And oh, by the way, we're giving away Wu-Tang Clan tickets today. So get yourself right for that.
Hey.
Danny and Dusty on the fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland Trailblazers knock off the Utah Jazz 114-112 last night. Despite the efforts of Keontae George trying to chuck up threes and make it, how did he make that one
on
three?
Two, I don't know.
It looked like
sitting in the office going, "How on earth did that go in?"
He was off balance. I thought he airballed it. Like when I first looked at it, I was like, because he didn't hit the rim, he cocked it back like behind his ear and just chucked it
Running forward with two draped all over him like a carpet.
And it didn't look like it didn't hit rim.
No, he just threw it in the net. It was crazy.
Yeah. But despite his efforts, the Blazers end up winning 114-112. And
thank God he was god awful in the first three quarters of the game. Otherwise, the Jazz might have won this game.
You say thank God for that?
I mean, if you're talking about if you're the Blazers and you want to win games, yeah. They're still in a winning games mindset. And even coming in this game, even without Markkanen and Kessler, mm-hmm. and we talked about it yesterday, the Jazz were going to be game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real thing.
I think that's a frustrating part for a lot of Blazer fans, though, when you watch a game like that. It was frustrating for me to watch in that Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton, their three best players not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching that game going, the Blazers are missing DeAndre Ayton.
Rob.
And, yeah, Robert Williams III, he rarely plays for
sure,
the Blazers.
I mean,
and then Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
But you're sitting there going, if we're trying to win, shouldn't this be a little bit more of a push? Second quarter excluded, right? Second quarter, the Blazers absolutely demolished them.
It was ugly basketball.
Yeah, and Keontae George not hitting the broadside of a barn really had a lot to do with that. But you're sitting there and you're going, all right, I think that is what the Blazers fans wanted to see their season look like at this point in the year, right? 14-43, but you still have guys who are playing really damn hard and putting themselves in positions to, at the end of a game, do you have a chance? Yeah. Do you lose? Yep. And you're okay with that. You're okay with it. That's the frustrating part of watching that, being like, oh boy. And they're positioning themselves to be in a better spot to land one of the top prospects mm-hmm. right now.
They're also, you know, 10 games behind the Blazers. It's a different world.
Still playing hard. I mean, yes, but mm-hmm. that's where people envision the Blazers being this year sure. was at that spot, and they're not.
Yeah, they end up being better than that.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened. You had two patches of winning streaks.
But that gets you to no man's land, which is the scariest place to be as a fan.
I don't think it's no man's land yet. Number one, the draft hasn't happened. Number two, we haven't gotten to the summer. Know what kind of comes out of this?
Well, I know, but direction-wise, if you're not in contention for those the best odds to be in the sure. top set, because look,
no, we keep circling back to this, yeah. and we keep hearing purgatory, no man's land, purgatory, no man's land. No, we had 7 years of purgatory. We had. That was literal purgatory. You have zero chance at getting a title team without making a massive, significant move.
Well, this
That was purgatory. That was hell.
What's different now, except for the Blazers don't have a star?
They have all of their assets still. They have the potential to make trades. They have the potential to get a player in the draft. And look, I would love to get Cooper Flagg. And if the odds were the way that they were in 2019... I would be ringing the bell mm-hmm. for the Blazers to tank to the absolute bottom. But at 14.5%, I can't ring that bell and be like, yeah, that's what you need to tie your franchise to.
Well, right now, I think the frustrating part is that the Philadelphia 76ers are closer to getting Cooper Flagg than the Portland Trailblazers are.
Sure.
But and that's the God honest truth mm-hmm. because of the fact we've talked about this ad nauseum with the fact that if you're outside of the top six, your odds go down
yep.
tremendously,
yep. particularly in the top four.
And right now the Blazers are nowhere near that. And it's going to be, they get 5 games to make up on the 76ers for yep. goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is like on the flip side though, if things don't go well for the 76ers in the lottery, they lose that pick.
Yeah.
To the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. With that's top four protected.
Top six. Yeah.
Well, now you see why they're ripping the bottom out of that yeah. thing. And they currently have the sixth worst record mm-hmm. they are in the NBA.
If a single team jumps up,
mm-hmm. come on, Blazers.
That pick goes to the Thunder.
Come on, Blazers.
Think about what the precariousness of that situation.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's absolutely brutal. You've got an MVP on the shelf. You don't know if he's very, very, very likely having another surgery. Paul George might be cooked. Yeah. Your books are fried.
Yep.
You don't have any draft capital left. You basically the entirety of your franchise right now is hinging on staying in the top six.
Yeah. But
that is a scary place to be.
But they pushed all in. They pushed all yeah. in.
And that was the thing that I beat Neil O'Shea over the head for is that he never it was always half measures.
And I would much rather be in that where you're like, hey, we pushed all in. It backfired tremendously, but we tried.
Sure.
We went.
I would 100% agree.
And we never got there.
Yeah.
And that sucks. That sucks too. Like 100%. that's a horrible place
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
But at least you were like, no, this roster looks like it's a championship roster. Mm-hmm. If Joel Embiid cannot stay healthy and they attach themselves to a guy who his injury history is exorbitant, they go out and they've made some moves that you're like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. But they've tried everything from Jimmy Butler to James Harden to Paul George now. Mm-hmm. Like they've tried.
Yeah.
They've tried.
No, I mean, that's what Daryl Morey has done throughout his career is he's continually trying to make big swings, but he's also had an MVP. Basically every year he's done it.
Mm-hmm. And that
part of it is the harder part to have happen.
Does it feel like Utah's, because I came away from that game, I felt like Utah's, if it was like Utah's closer to landing that star in turning the corner than the Blazers are, because they are playing hard. Their coach is really good too.
Will Hardy's a great coach.
And you've said this several times throughout the year, like he's going crazy with this losing in the way that it's going?
It's eating him alive. I've talked to people in Jazz front office and the media that cover the Jazz, and they're just like, yeah, no, it's eating him alive. He's going to lose his mind.
But if they reap the rewards of this?
Mm-hmm. And if they don't?
It'd be pretty special.
And if they don't? If they get bumped back like the Pistons? Where are they?
Well, in a loaded draft class, they're still not that far off, and they still have got a ton of draft capital because Minnesota gave up everything for Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, again, a ton of draft capital because you traded away two in-prime stars.
Mm-hmm. But they went, and the Blazers traded away Damian Lillard.
There's a very significant difference between trading away 33-year-old Damian Lillard and in-prime Donovan Mitchell and in-prime Rudy Gobert.
But he was the heartbeat of the franchise.
Sure, but there's a significant difference in trading and they two had, in-prime stars versus one.
Yeah, they had two in-prime stars.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the part of this. And like, it was like, well, you should be like the Jazz, you should be like the Thunder. I'm like, oh, you mean the two teams that traded away two in-prime stars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to do that too. If I was going to reset, I would love to reset with that much draft capital. Be great.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you have to, one, have your team embarrassed on national TV and have everybody basically ask out.
And I mean, I think this is the hard part, though, for fans, is that it's like, as you watch these games, you see a Utah, and then we hear, you know, whether it is the Blazers front office, or, I mean, you just said it, too, in that the Blazers have all their assets. You know, they have all their assets moving forward, and they have all these tradable assets. Well, then where's the move? You know, and everybody's been waiting for that move. And I think that you hit the nail on the head around the trade deadline when you said this team is not an in-season trading team.
No.
We saw the Denny Avdia move this past offseason, which, I mean, if you say that that move was not good in that you're not seeing the benefits of Denny Avdia and what he could mean, you're just not watching. And that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It's fine.
But that was a very good move because it was Malcolm Brogdon and Bub Carrington, essentially, was what that move was. And Denny is here on a de-escalating contract.
It's one of the best non-star contracts in the entire league.
He will be here for several years. That's a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you go, all right, what are the assets that are going to bring this team a big move? And that's where people are like, we don't want to live on that hill, right? Because
sure, because the idea of selling the hope of maybe you get lucky in the lottery sounds better. But the reality is that if you look at the draft since they've flattened out the odds, teams have bumped up and teams have fallen back every single year.
You just hope that you're Atlanta bumping up from, what, 10? 10 up to...
And if the Blazers finish 8, 9, 10, I don't anticipate that happening.
Yeah.
The math is the math.
And that's where the frustration is.
And I get it, but that's... You weren't bad enough to be that bad, and again,
but you can make yourself bad enough to be there.
Yes,
and that's the thing. That's the thing that all Utah did it last night.
Sure, Utah didn't do it last year though.
But and the draft was far different this year. They're like, okay, we've got. You can say it's like four guys, right? Solid four.
There's one absolute dude, and then there's a group of guys that you think can be very good.
How many guys in this year's draft would be drafted over Alex Saar?
Five.
Yeah. That's why you do it this year, right? And that's why everybody was excited about this year. It's like, all right, hey, if you're going to do it, this year to do it, right? And
it's a good class. There's no doubt about that.
You take that tumble knowing that the odds will be in your favor, and they're sure as heck manipulating their way to it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people, and to what we've talked about all the time, there's a lot of people that just aren't about that tank life.
No.
And we talked about at the beginning of the year. Well, they weren't when they were losing, and now that they're winning, they want to be about that tank
life. It's whatever you don't have, you want.
Yeah. Look, they're going to probably pick up two more.
Yeah, I mean,
Washington next.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing the Wizards and
then
the Nets,
Brooklyn.
And the Nets literally lost the Wizards last night. The Wizards did it, ladies and gentlemen.
They
got to double digits. They will not have the worst record in NBA history.
Hey, good for them, man. They were trending that way in a big way.
Yeah, I mean,
they were stuck on four forever.
I could have seen them losing every game for the rest of the season the way they're playing.
Well, they've won four of their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know.
There you go.
It could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Just adding Marcus Smart was all they needed.
You know what? That's right. That's right. Oh, it was six wins. They were stuck on six wins. They picked up their sixth win on January 3rd. They did not get to win number seven until February 1st.
God. That's... That's so bad, man. It's so bad.
That is so bad. Yeah. They won one game in the month of January.
Look, I'm a proponent of them to turn the water off and increase those odds. I just don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough spot to be. But the Blazers did win, and Tumani Kamara again confused officials with how good a defense he is.
He's very good at that.
That anytime I hear the rule of verticality, mm-hmm. I just go back to that rule being just drilled into my head mm-hmm. as a youth basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up rule baby. Of verticality. If you are straight up and down, you will not be called for a foul. I totally was throughout my entire career. Mm. But Tumani Kamara last night, airborne, and it was like there was a wall that he mm-hmm. could not cross. Yep. He was moving laterally and was just straight up and down. They called a foul on him, and it was like, nope, review that. Mm-hmm. Because we talked about this yesterday. He averages three fouls a game. That was his fourth foul. It's straight up, go to it, review it. They review it, and they're like,
oh, wow.
Wow. Yep.
Was vertical.
Rule of verticality, mm-hmm. no foul. He's so good at defense, the officials can't even believe he's that good at defense.
Did you hear Lamar's new nickname for him?
No.
Shadow.
Ooh.
The Shadow.
I like that.
I like it. Just stay in your shadow.
I like that.
He is your shadow.
Well, let's get to kind of the crux of the issue here. You heard a lot of this. You've been hearing a lot of this. Mm-hmm. And this text comes in on the Vancouver Ford text line. What's the point of drafting young players anyway if Portland just sits them behind vets? Shaedon Sharpe. He seems to be the focal point of that conversation for
something new to get mad about
for people right now. Yeah, we're gonna wind you up. We're gonna wind you up and let you go.
I'm already there.
Here's Rust with SportsCenter. Boy, Shaedon Sharpe sure has turned into the focal point of Blazer fans right now. Coming off the bench last night in Utah, 18 minutes, 12 points, 2 rebounds. Nothing else except for a turnover on his stat line there. And a lot of folks are saying, why isn't Shaedon getting more run?
Yeah, and there's a lot to this. And I've seen people like, oh, you're killing his confidence and he needs more time. It's like, we literally, I would be probably be more patient with general Blazer fan if we hadn't literally just gotten through this with Scoot Henderson. Scoot was not good. Mm-hmm. He was not doing what was asked of him. He was moved to the bench and his role was reduced drastically. Scoot Henderson had a come to coach moment and realized it's on him. He's a professional athlete. It is on him to excel in the minutes that he gets. And when he gets those minutes and he excels, even if he makes mistakes, he will be rewarded.
Yep.
What did Scoot Henderson play last night? Was it 30 minutes? Yes.
Yes, it was.
Was he in the closing? Yes. Yeah. Was he in the closing lineup?
30 on the dot. Yes, he was.
Even with six turnovers last night, he was there. Why?
Because he gives a damn.
And he was doing the things that were asked of him.
Yeah.
And when Scoot was struggling, he would have these five, six turnover nights while not being productive on the offensive end, while being a god-awful defender, and just making poor decisions over and over and over again, right? Even with those six turnovers last night, when he was making, when those turnovers occurred, you could at least understand the process. Like, I don't want to see six turnovers from anyone.
No.
But if you understand what they're trying to do and they made a mistake, they drove too deep, or they hesitated on a pass before letting it go, those are things you can go look at the film and go, look, your process was right, the execution was poor.
Mm-hmm.
You can live with those, particularly for young guys developing. Those are the mistakes you want to see guys make. You go, okay, let's not make those same mistakes over and over again. But Scoot's production last night, 17 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds on top of those 6 turnovers. While being efficient from the field, 7 of 15 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. Didn't get to the free throw line, which I thought was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that's been making a living there recently.
Well, they seem to abandon ship, thinking that like Walker Kessler was there to protect the rim at times.
It was a little weird. Kyle Filipowski's got T-Rex arms, man. He's not bothering shots.
He was making them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, 4-4 from three. I was like, okay, Flip, calm down. But Shaden was objectively not good last night.
And there, it's been a long stretch, too, where you've seen this from Shaden Sharp, and it can be a roller coaster with him.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, if Shaden Sharp, in whatever minutes he got, went out there and balled out, he would get more minutes. He would get more opportunities. If you look at what he, like, looking at like the tracking data and stuff like that, he's not taking advantage of the opportunities that he gets.
On offense or defense. I look at the Charlotte game, though, and I think this may be where some people are coming from, is like the game-to-game thing. That Charlotte game, he did look like he was productive.
Yeah.
But he played two more minutes in that game, and it didn't look like...
They didn't play really anybody in the fourth quarter, and you don't want to... You're not getting the data, quote-unquote, that everybody wants on Shaden Sharp, watching him play 10 more minutes in the fourth quarter against Charlotte when you're up 50 points.
But wouldn't that just be, hey, minutes that matter, if we're trying to get through to you, this is how we get through to you? Like, you've been idle and basically watching for long stretches. Like, that would be the time where you're like, okay, we'll get him his 30 minutes. They did it against in Denver. Mm-hmm. They did it against the Nuggets, where he played 30 minutes in that game.
Yeah.
But
the Charlotte game is a wholly different thing, because when it gets that out of control, it becomes no one else is playing. You're going to throw Chris. You're going to throw Roops. You're going to throw Wop. You're going to throw Delano. Like, that's where those guys, that when you're further down the bench, when the games get out of hand like that, that's when they get their minutes.
Yeah.
That's how that's always going to work, regardless, when you look at those situations. Like, that's a wholly different thing. And Shaden,
who played in that fourth quarter, though? Which guards played in the fourth quarter of that Charlotte game?
I think Scoot ended up playing some minutes in that game. Let me pull it up. I've got it in my little tracker right here. Let's see. Total minutes played. Chris played the entire quarter. Delano played 11. Watt played almost 11. Jabari played 10. Roops played 9. Yeah, Scoot played 3 and Shaden played 3.
Okay.
So they got a couple minutes of like, all right, and then I think they checked out with 43-point lead.
Seems like a good lead.
They're not going to play in those games.
No.
Like, that's just, they've graduated beyond that, regardless of what position Shaden is in right now.
But yeah, and that's the thing, though, is that has Shaden Sharp graduated from
that?
Yes, because
he's not Roops or Wop or, you know, a fringe guy in the development cycle.
But when you have a guy that has been sent to the bench because of whether it's effort or, you know, prowess on the defensive end, you can take both of those, because we've seen both be a large factor with him, right? It's the effort and then just the ability to do it, right? It's something that he hasn't done. Like, I think that's where you go, the fans are like, well, just give him minutes, let him play, let him work through some stuff out there, even if it is in garbage time.
It's not about him working through stuff. It's about his effort, his intensity, and his focus.
Well, I think that is something that...
It's not about getting a rhythm, though. You go out there with intentionality.
Exactly.
But
being out there with that, that game, it looked like he had that intentionality, right? And that's just what people are complaining about and what they want to see. Last night was a different animal, because you didn't see that. You didn't see him go out and play like he did.
He was floating through the game.
And that is the frustration of, you really want to see that for 25 minutes a night?
No.
I don't think you do.
No, and they're different players. They have different roles. They have different responsibilities and different expectations. But the mentality that Jabari Walker goes out there with, not knowing what minutes he's going to get, have you ever seen that kid not give a damn? The answer is no. Because he knows that his opportunities are limited. And I don't care if you're the 7th pick or the 60th pick in the draft. If Tuani Kamara is the 52nd pick in the draft, He was a guy who was basically an afterthought. He is now very likely going to make an all-defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because his role, his expectation, and his give-a-damn come correct every single night.
Yep. It's part of being a professional.
And then when it didn't last year, he got his butt sat down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what... And I was like, why don't they do it with Simons? Why didn't they do it with Ayton? They did! Do we not remember Anthony Simons against Minnesota going 0-10 and Chauncey said, sit your butt down? Do we not remember DeAndre Ayton coming out in the second half of a game and being so lifeless that 30 seconds into the third quarter, Chauncey sat him for the rest of the game?
Yep. Well, and then there was a time where Chauncey went to DA and was like, hey, we're not going to start you in the second half because
we're going to go with Rob.
We're going to go with Rob. And he was like, yeah, I get it.
No.
And I get it.
And that's the thing. Like, do D.A., Jeremy, Ant, do those guys, Denny, do they get more leash? Yes. Because they've gone through it. And everyone's like, well, Ant's a bad defender. Ant's in the right place at the right time. Just because they're hunting him and he's not a good defender is not the same. It's not giving a damn. Go watch Ant. Like, it was like, oh, you're Ant's guy. I don't care. I watched the tape. I talked to the players. They will all tell you. Yeah, Ant's not a great defender. But you know what he's not? He's not falling asleep off ball, getting back cut over and over again, not getting back in transition, not doing the things that are asked of him to be done. And that's, I wouldn't care if Shaden was just another guy.
Yeah. You know, there was... I think a lot of it has to do with where you draft a guy.
Sure. Yeah. Those expectations are going to come with that 100%.
But I think people also need to look back at these were kind of the concerns of him when he was coming out in the pre-draft process, right?
Yes.
When he goes to Kentucky and he doesn't end up playing at Kentucky at all that year. And that was like one of the things is like, this dude could be the best player in the draft.
Talent wise, it's up there, man. Like there's nobody has ever doubted his talent.
But
it's the soft skills.
And that is the one that you need to remember as you're going through every single game of this season and why he's not playing as much as you would hope that he would.
Look, I wrote about Shaden January 1st, about how Shaden Sharp becomes a very good player, how his path to stardom. And almost every single caveat to that was it all hinges on his aggressiveness. His intention. When I keep going back to this play, because I've watched this clip probably 15 times now when they played the Lakers, they put Shaden Sharp in DHOs for most of his actions. And the reason for that is his handle's still not great, but it gives him an advantage. A defender is trailing. Like they're putting him in an advantageous position offensively. He turns the corner against the Lakers, and the Lakers have already rotated, and Jackson Hayes is outside. Austin Reeves is the low man. Shaden Sharp turns the screen from Donovan, gets into the free throw line extended, and just stops and kicks the ball back out. That's Austin freaking Reeves, dude. Go put it on his head. Split him down the middle. I don't care. But show aggressiveness. Like, and the same thing applies to his defense. The intentionality and the aggressiveness just aren't there. I'm not asking him to be a block leader or a steals leader, but be effective. Be aggressive. Hell, if you make a mistake on your rotation, you know, closing out hard. Like, just give me something. And it, like, more often than not, particularly in the defensive end over the last 6-8 weeks, it just hasn't been there. And that's why he finds himself in the position that he's in right now. And he's got all the talent, all the tools to make it. And Vancouver 4 text line is saying, why isn't he afforded the opportunity to make those mistakes? Because they're boxing him in on purpose. They want him to fight. They want him to be pissed off. They want him to be angry. They want him to show some emotion and go out there and play with his hair on fire. If he played with the relative intentionality, but the results weren't great, he would still get more time.
All right. Well, he's not right now.
It's on him. He is the one person that can get him more minutes is him.
Yeah. 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver forward text line. Shaq, Chuck, Ernie, and Kenny on Oregon State basketball. Next. Don't get your hopes up if you're hoping for Shaq, Chuck, Ernie, and Kenny on your Oregon State basketball broadcast.
Well, that's mean.
Well, I know. But Luke Fletcher, who runs the Ramblin' Roundup, okay, not associated with the Pac-12, but Georgia Tech, which is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
Has said, I can confirm TNT Sports may include Pac-12 games in its streaming service, Max, contingent upon both parties securing media rights agreement. Of note, each event broadcasted on TNT would also be accessible on Max. So this is a guy who's Atlanta-based, and that's, if you don't know, where TNT
is headquartered
at. He is reporting that Turner may be involved, and that would be TBS as well, Superstation. Mm-hmm. So move over Atlanta Braves baseball.
And what is it? What's the other network that they have that they run? The
True TV.
True.
Yeah, True TV. The only reason why I mention this, and this is like somebody who's not as dialed in or locked in as most, but the reason why I mention it is based off of J.D. Wicker, the AD at San Diego State, and what he said just yesterday.
Yes.
Right? Which was that there is momentum gaining, that the end of March we could see a media rights deal kind of put into place, and a team adding as a full-time member, potential three partial or full-time members being added at some point after that. The wheels are in motion for the Pac-12's new media rights deal to be in and the Pac-12 to survive. And it could happen as early as the end of next month. And that is huge for Oregon State, Washington State, and the rest of the schools that are joining into the Pac-12 conference. Having TNT and TBS, if you're a Beaver or a Coug fan, if in fact they are part of the media rights deal, that's huge for you too, because look, the worst thing in the world is being on a bunch of networks that you don't know where they are. You don't have to find them. The platform is inaccessible. Accessibility will be there if you're on in any portion of your media rights deal, TBS, TNT, or on the Max app. That's actually really positive news if I'm a Pac-12 fan of looking at that and saying, all right,
that's a significantly better landing spot than what they possibly could have had.
And TNT, as we found out during the college football playoff, they're starting to get into the game of college football because of the fact that they aired two of the college football playoff opening round games this past year due to the inventory logjam with ESPN and their family of networks. So this is a small thing, it's just a report, it's unverified, it's not from one of the big movers and shakers of reporting like a Dellinger or hell, even John Wilner, who is on top of most Pac-12 stuff. But a guy based out of Atlanta is saying, you know, that steam is gaining some momentum down the tracks here, the steam engine, and we could see the Pac-12 on the TNT networks, the Turner family networks, TNT, TBS, and or Max.
Look, it's a better and more visible landing spot than you possibly could have hoped for.
Yeah.
I don't think you can slice that any other way.
Yeah.
I mean, is it, what other landing spot were you hoping for?
Well, it's better than just saying, you know, what the old Pac-12 and Larry Scott was like, the Apple deal, right? And being on like Apple TV, mm-hmm. it's better than that, because is it on a streaming platform? Yep, it's mm-hmm. on Max. Is it in a streaming platform that a lot of people do have mm-hmm. too? And it's one that it wouldn't be like, I have to just buy this and basically all I'm going to watch
you're
is
not,
Pac-12 Sports.
Yeah, and you're not going to get the... With that package, you likely would have gotten a little bit more money. Let's say that the money stayed the same. It wouldn't, because the teams that are gone and the teams that are in now.
For sure.
But let's say that you did get that same level of revenue, or just slightly less. Let's say you got like 18 a year, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Which would be nice, but...
Which is nice.
Your distribution would be significantly limited in the sense of it is holistic and held in one place. As opposed to the TNT family of networks, which does have a wider audience.
Mm-hmm. And you're on TV and on the streaming, yes. Not just on...
You have multiple access points.
In. And look, this will in all likelihood just be part of what is a multi-network television package. It's good news, though.
Yes.
It's good news because it's...
And you're not stringing together, you know, like leftovers.
It's not the Pac-12 network where you're going to have to fight for distribution, yes. Either.
TNT is on everything.
All right.
You're not going to have an issue where you run up against rights deals where a network isn't going to carry TNT or TBS.
Yeah, that'd be those, bad news bears.
Is there a channel more synonymous with cable satellite than those networks?
No, not in my mind. No. No.
No.
Well, I mean, it's like CNN and Fox News. But yeah.
As far as like non-news programs.
You tell me you're not going to sign up for... Oregon State versus Fresno State, and then right after Shawshank.
Yeah.
Let's go, dude.
Flip it on the morning to Charmed.
Yeah, you just sit there and you celebrate. You celebrate that win with Andy Dufresne climbing out the pipe, poop pipe.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, you know what? We have reached the other side. We got this. All right, let's get to hour number two, where we will have some NFL news and notes, plus some Wu-Tang Clan tickets. Mm. We have a new mock draft, and it's a doozy.
Oh,
Mel Kiper Jr., where does Shedeur Sanders go, and who is going number one overall? Danny Dusty on The Fan.